basketball folks, how's it going? This is Bumpy Martinez from the Palisades Bronze Royals bringing you Wifflecast. This episode, we're going to have Ryan and Tim McElrath. With me conducting the interview will be Jason Paraskevas.
So before we get to the McElrath, I'm a habitual trash talker. I don't shy away from speaking my mind in terms of Wifflecast and stuff like that. I think a good way to start these things now is maybe if I give people an opportunity to vent about anything that's on their minds regarding wiffle ball. So I guess we can start with you, Bump. Is there anything on your mind?
Well, this is pretty interesting. I usually ask the questions. Let's see, anything on my mind? Anything I want to vent on? You know what I have on my mind, and I wish I had an opportunity. I asked Matt Riegler, former Palisades player, to be on the air with us, and he turned it down. What I wanted to ask Matt was, what the hell did he do to the Astros organization before he left?
Dumpster fire.
I don't know what he did. He left the team in shambles.
I can't complain about what he did because it allowed me to come in and take Gerard. If they were an organization that was still strong, he probably would have stayed there. So it kind of helped me out a little bit.
He had Gerard Fitzgerald, Jordan Robles as two number one draft picks, and he faltered. He turned that team into a team that won how many games last year?
I don't know, like four? Five?
It wasn't a lot. They brung up the rear. They had the first overall pick in the draft this year. But you know what? What really annoys me is that, you know, my first year here, the year of the Super Draft, you know, Matt was constantly telling me that the Bronx Royals belonged in the minors, that we have a minor league ball team, and that none of our players deserve to be in the majors. Now, two years later, you know, we're coming off an 11-11 record, just missed the playoffs, and this guy's out the league.
Yeah, Matt took for granted what it means to be an owner, and it's not just, you know, it's easy to get a big-name player in a draft. The hard part is keeping them and keeping them interested in returning for your team. I mean, they made a trade, Jordan Robles for Brian DiNapoli. Brian DiNapoli won Rookie of the Year, was undefeated on the carpet, hit over like 370. He got traded to the Astros, MIA, never to be seen again.
I actually reached out to him because I had maybe some interest in trying to acquire him. I reached out to him on Facebook Messenger, and he promptly told me, "I'm not playing next year." It didn't take a whole lot. That's what he could have done.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the faulty maneuvers that went down with that franchise. And you know, you gotta really hand it to Bobby Daly though for coming in and picking up the pieces and sticking it out and trying to rebuild that organization, because a lot of guys would just be like, "Fuck it, I'm done. I'm going in the draft. You know, fuck the organization." Would be a 10-team league.
The rumor is that they're bringing up Mike Wiener. You put a DK and a Mike Wiener on a team. I don't know if Wiener's going to be able to pitch, but you know, all you got to do is try to get that last playoff spot. Maybe Wiener's arm's better toward the end of the year.
And now, right. Well, I mean, the big thing is you know what Dakota Kenny shows up. You know, I've played with Dakota. A lot of guys have played with Dakota. I think he's probably been on like every franchise. But when Dakota shows up and he's ready to play, if he's got a chip on his shoulder that day, he can be unhittable. But there's other days where he shows up and he's throwing pitches behind his back, under his leg, his shoulder. You know, so you really need Dakota to fully commit. If Dakota fully commits and Mike Wiener gets his arm healthy,
they can win.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can make the playoffs this year.
For sure.
Yeah. If that happens, it depends on those two things: his availability, and I'm sure if they, you know, they're in the playoff hunt, maybe Dakota will get serious. You know, last couple of years he's been on a couple of teams that were under 500 and you know, didn't catch a break.
Absolutely.
All right, Tim and Ryan McElrath coming up next. All right, Wiffleball fans, I got Ryan and Tim McElrath on the air. You guys are there?
Yep. What up?
And to assist me with the interview, I got Jason Paraskevas, who I introduced earlier. this is an important wiffle cast here. We got the Palisades champs. I didn't want to miss anything, so I brought in Jason Paraskevis, who has had the opportunity to play with both of them and won a trip with at least one, right?
Should
have been both.
I went to the championship with Ryan in his rookie year, and I went to the championship with Tim in his first full year.
Now, just a little background on the McElrath's, on Tim and Ryan. I look at the career stats. They're very similar. And their batting average is almost identical. Ryan has 28 career homers. Tim has 32. Ryan has 105 RBIs. Tim has 101. Very close. ERA, Ryan has a 0.57 career ERA, which is ridiculous. And Tim has a 0.67 career ERA. The only difference really between the two is that Tim has pitched a lot less innings. Ryan has pitched 314 innings to Tim's 164. Now, maybe we can just start right there. Why the difference in the amount of innings? Tim?
In 2012, Ryan and Sean actually joined the league. And, like, I didn't play at first because I couldn't pitch. Like, I didn't know how to throw the nasty pitches and stuff. I knew I could hit, but, like, I had the idea that everyone was, like, chucking like they could. So I was like, whatever. And then I joined, like, a week or two later. And then we wound up playing together the next year in 2013. And I didn't pitch at all. I pitched, like, a few games at the end. And then in 2014 is when I actually really started to pitch. And we won the championship that year. So
wow.
I think that goes to show something. Yeah.
So let's address a little something. So, like you said, you didn't come into the league with Ryan and Sean because you felt like you couldn't pitch. How did you go from a guy who felt that he couldn't pitch to a guy who went and took a team to a championship on the carpet?
After 2012, or during 2012, the season, like, I would just, like, go in the backyard and obviously watching Sean and Ryan pitch. And, like, I'd pick up a wiffle ball, and then I developed a screwball, so I, like, worked with that. And, like, I felt comfortable on the mound, but, like, the Cardinals, they didn't give me a shot out there. Which I still regret to this day because I feel like we would have made the playoffs if I was allowed on the mound. Then I pitched after the Palisades. I pitched in like a fall, the Hudson Valley League, and I pretty much like dominated. Like I started to develop like a drop, a slider, a screwball, and then we won the championship in that. In 2013 Palisades, Ryan and Sean were they cored up, and then they picked me. And they were, like, the one and two, so I really never had the pitch. And, like, the team was, like, all about them throwing. So then once we clinched the playoffs, like, I only threw a few games then. After that, I really wanted to actually pitch because I knew I could get it done. I played in Hudson Valley Winter League. I did pretty well. And then me and Jay teamed up. I said, I'm ready to do whatever. And I just went out there and beasted it and did whatever.
Yep.
One.
So that's pretty interesting. So basically,
yeah.
One of the best pitchers around, regardless of whether you're playing yard or fast pitch or what. And he wasn't allowed to pitch in 2012 and 2013.
It's not everyone can just pick up a wiffle ball and pitch, though. Like, obviously, like, it runs in our blood, though. So that's why I kind of, like, developed it quickly.
Let's talk pitches. What do you throw, Tim?
I mean, it depends. In fast pitch, I throw a screwball, slider, riser, drop, screw. I don't throw a drop curve, actually.
For any
I throw a super curve. What's up?
For any newcomer out there, how would you grip the ball for some of these pitches? You and your brother, you hold the ball the same way?
Yeah, pretty much. Everybody's different. I mean, something might work for me that's not going to work for Tim or to anybody out there. It's all about just going out, trying different guff patterns and different grips and just trying it to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Like, that's real true, actually. But, like, generally, like, if you want to throw a screwball with a cut-up ball, you hold the balls to the left.
The holes.
Yeah, the holes to the left, and then you just throw the ball to your left and it'll screw back right. Same thing, then the slider's opposite. You hold the holes to the right, and you, like, the uncut side of the ball to the left, and then you just throw it towards your right and it slides in left. And then the same thing with like a drop and stuff.
So Ryan throws pitches that Tim doesn't throw, and Tim throws some pitches that Ryan doesn't throw. Have you guys ever thought about, like, for instance, Ryan, have you ever like sat with Tim and go, I'm going to show you how to throw that filthy slider that you throw Or is that something that, that you hold as your own?
Nah, we know how to throw everything. It's just a matter of what you're comfortable with during the game. I mean, in the backyard, we've thrown everything. It's just...
I've watched that. What's that video? It's the Palisades video with the all the filthy pitches, and you throw the slider. It's probably in there like two or three times. And I've seen it live. I've seen it in the box. It's unhittable.
I learned that pitch like before we even started playing with scuff balls. Like that's back when we used to actually play with the yellow bats and unscuff balls. I mean that was my first pitch.
But yet, people in Palisades can't throw or hit that.
I mean, everybody can throw a slider, and, you know, most hitters will say, you know, pitchers make the mistake with the slider, and it's a home run. Your slider is unhittable. It's got such a late, sharp break. It's not even fair.
I think what's one of the hardest pitches is that, what is it, the super curve, is it? Is that the one that has that quick?
That's the off-speed pitch. It's like, just like, you actually hold it like a slider, scuffball slider, but you just move your fingers up and you gotta like snap your wrist. It's like a little flutter ball, but it's nasty.
Do you twist, or you just snap it forward, or you twist it like a curve?
Yeah, you snap your wrist, so that way, like, you want to spin the ball counterclockwise with the holes facing up, and then it'll just like flutter down or like drop sharply if it's good.
There's gonna be some little kids out there now listening to this and trying it tonight.
I hope so, man.
When I met the McHale Rats, I remember it was my first year in Hudson Valley. You know, when I showed up at Hudson Valley, my first reaction was like, I'm surrounded by a bunch of freaking wiffle ball nerds. I mean, I'm you know, that's what it felt like. There were a lot of people weren't athletic. Morris is athletic, but there's a lot of guys that were just playing, you know, wiffle ball, and they didn't play other sports. And then I saw you guys in the field, and you guys could throw, you guys could feel, you guys could hit, and I was like, all right, well these guys, they just stood out, you know.
It's fun.
I mean, back then, I mean, I didn't even know what the Palisades was back then. You know, that was maybe a year or two later. When I found out that these guys, you know, just stopping by the Hudson Valley for a little wiffle ball, preparing,
local,
you know,
wiffle ball.
Yeah, preparing. You guys didn't even pitch in those league
practice,
March. Just every now and
then. Ryan, when you came up in 2012 and took the Brewers to a championship, did you ever, for a second after that, think that you would not win a championship until 2017?
I thought I would get it done a little earlier, but just kept going for it, and it happened finally.
The thing is, like, I think if me and
it's
Ryan...
It's tougher than people than you would think.
It's,
that
it's
chip
real hard,
is really
dude.
Hard to get.
If me and Ryan played together before, like, because through 2014, like, or through 2015, 16, like, we, or even 2012 when we played together, I think we could have won. But, hey, everything happens for a reason.
So, Tim, a lot of people don't know this. Probably a lot of people in Palisades don't know this. But the general consensus in the wiffle ball world is that you are probably the best, like, slow to medium pitch pitcher, like, in these tournament circuits. Is that something that you developed after learning fast pitch, or was that something that you were able to do before? You like that better?
Yeah, like, first off, like, I don't think I'm the
best.
Like,
Tim's not the best.
We do this fast pitch shit. Like, I might be up there in slow pitch because I throw a knuckleball, and that's pretty much the game changer. Like, that's my go-to, and if it's on, like, it's tough to hit. But I would say Ben Stanton is one of the best slow pitch pitches I've ever seen because he has a wicked knuckleball.
Yeah, I pitched
really,
his knuckleball, and that is dirty.
Yeah, it changed the game a yard. But I've been, like, when we were little, we used to play slow pitch, and I would just literally just throw a knuckleball. My knuckleball always stood out from, like, my friends.
Because you could throw strikes with it.
Yeah, I could hit the zone with it, and then I just... I mean, the first time we played yard wasn't until, I think, 2015, because I played with Fisher, and, like, I just went on the mound, and I remember, like, I just threw the knuckleball, and these guys were looking at me like, wow, like, he doesn't even do this, he's hitting the zone. And then we just played in more slow-pitch tournaments, and I just stayed consistent, I guess.
In 2016, that was the year of the Super Draft. You guys were able to – now, who's the manager? Tim or Ryan?
Ryan, me.
Ryan's a manager. And you were able to get your brother Tim. Tim basically, you know, designated himself a non-pitcher. He had an injury. And had that not had happened, it's 100% somebody would have took Tim on their team. Because he's just, you know, that
well,
that
yeah. I could have took DNAP with the 10th pick, and we probably would have won that year, me and him in 2016. But I just passed up and took Tim because it's more fun to play that way.
No, absolutely. Now, you guys went 9-13, and you couldn't get that number two starter all year, right? Is that what happened?
Well, yeah, we had Sean on our team, and he went down early, and he was going to come back, but then the injury didn't really get better, so we were just struggling to find a number two all year.
I think you guys
went two games. Phil pitched in. We called people up, but we always knew the goal was 2017, so...
And it was 2017, which is last year. You guys took it all, and you know, when you guys get injured, then went down.
Finally, my arm went.
And you guys made an addition of David Fisher. David,
oh,
Fisher.
Huge addition.
Formerly retired, Dave Fisher.
he retired off the Brewers.
Right environment.
He forced the trade. And what week was that?
That was in the off season, I think, right?
Yeah, we
got Fish in the off season because we wanted Whipman, but then we kind of got shut down.
Yeah, let's say shut down, and then it actually worked out for the better. So.
Now, I want to go week by week. I made some notes here. Tell me what you guys are thinking now as the season progresses in 2017. Week one, you win against the Astros, and then you lose to Fitzgerald. You start the season 1-1?
1-1, right?
How did that happen? Did Gerard on that day? You guys are rusty?
He did good. He hit well, too. It just was the first week of the season. Rusty. Probably a little too excited to play. But, hey, we got one game.
So you guys went 1-1. The following week, you had the Brewers and the Royals. You win both. So you go 3-1. Week three, you got the Yankees twice. And
so that was pretty.
And you split that. That was the week Tim got hurt. Is that right?
That was a game changing week for our season.
A little halfway through the first game, Tim's arm went down, and I was just like, "Here we go again." And I kind of got a fire lit under me. I was pretty pissed. I just took the mound, kept them scoreless the rest of that game. Headed into the second game, I said I wasn't going to lose. We went out there. Phil hit a big home run. And
that was the home run he hit off of Whitener, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that thing was.
That's the one that's all over the internet.
That was a big home run.
Yeah. That was big for our season. I mean.
So now you're 4-2. We're going into week four, and you got the Brewers. Two games against the Brewers.
Man.
And Jason calls up Caulfield.
Yeah, we just didn't hit.
You guys split that week, or you lost two? Which was it?
We lost the first game and then won the second game.
Yeah.
Now, Caulfield, what do you think about the kid? You know.
He threw good. Yeah, he definitely should be in the majors. He's got to learn how to just pitch a little more. I mean, we didn't hit him that game.
He's effectively wild, and that makes it a pain in the ass to hit.
So now he's
got some nasty stuff.
Now, you're 5-3, we're going to week five, and you have the Padres and the Yankees. You lose to Kayvon, and you lose to Wiener. You go to 5-5 on the season. Now, what are you thinking there? I mean, like, 5-5.
I was fucking pissed, but literally the next day I went on vacation. So I went on vacation for a whole week. I didn't care, and then I came back literally the day before the next week. We stayed in a hotel room down there. And then next day showed up, it started downpouring, and me and Matt Fleeser looked at each other and were just like, yeah, we're ready to play.
Yeah, but, like, the thing is, like, before that week, too, like, we were just like, all right, we're just going to go play the Mariners. Like, if we win, we win.
Have
fun. We lose, we just got to have fun. And we came out with the sweep, and then the following weeks after that, we were just like, all right, let's just keep playing the same way. Like,
yeah. I think that was the turnaround of the season. Week six,
oh, absolutely.
You sweep the Mariners. Ryan hits two homers in each game.
Yeah, he went off.
In the pouring rain, I remember that. We were watching a game. Everybody, we didn't even start our game. You guys kept playing.
Yeah.
So now you're 7-5. You got a big series against the Expos, and you sweep the Expos as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We were
ready to go.
Yeah, we were ready to go that week.
After sweeping the Expos, it looks like the next 3 weeks you split.
Honestly, it was the games that I didn't pitch.
Yeah.
Was really the toss up.
That's true. It is true. You guys were
every game Ryan pitched, he was dominant on the mound. Like it was. I've never seen Ryan pitch like he did down the stretch in 2017. Like every other year, it was just compared to this, it was different.
I mean, that's kind of why you took the Cy Young, the MVP, and won a championship. At any point, did you feel like you know, you were doing too much, you were throwing too much?
No.
You just did what you had to do.
I was trying to win.
You guys get a first-round bye. You face Kayvon and Jordan Robles in the semifinals. Great series.
Well, hold on. We should talk about week 11, actually, against the Dodgers, because that was a huge week. Because we still could have missed the playoffs.
Oh, you guys didn't have anything clinched? Really?
Yeah. It was tight coming down the stretch. Like, we were in second place, but there was a possibility that we could still miss out.
Wow.
And, like, then Ryan, like, we took the mound in game one.
I was sick, too.
Yeah, he was sick, too. And we were like, all right, if we sweep, we get a bye. So let's just go for the sweep. Like, we could have easily just took it easy. And Ryan just dissected them game one. And then game two, we started Dave Fisher. He loads the bases. He loads the bases in the first inning and works out of the jam, and then comes up in the next half of the inning and hits a huge go-ahead home run. And then we just put Ryan back in and he shut the door and we got the bye. And without the bye, Ryan would have had to throw 3 weeks in a row in the playoffs. So
who knows if that was the nail in the coffin for the Dodgers as well, going into the playoffs, you know.
I think we kind of just punched him in the mouth there.
Yeah.
Sorry, but that we stung him. We stunned him. Yeah.
So let's see. Game one in the against the Padres. Giants won 1-0. Ryan won his shutout.
Typical playoff game. Down to the wall.
I hit a triple like with two outs or one out. Then Phil comes up and just
hit a single, put it away.
Game two, we got Kayvon hitting his home runs and coming out of his shell.
Yeah, he hit a home run and just that sealed the deal for that game. We didn't hit. And then going to game three, it was win or go home, so we just...
You guys won 4-0. Ryan, Phil, and Fisher all went deep that game. That was you.
Yeah.
Well,
Kayvon, honestly, it was 90 degrees that day.
Phil broke it open.
It was 90 degrees that day, and we sensed Kayvon was feeling the heat, and we just – it worked. Phil hit a home run, and that kind of just put him out of the game, and we just took it from there.
Yeah, they pulled him for Jordan after.
How did you sense it? Did you see him tapping the bucket 85 times?
You can actually go back and watch it. Like, he took, like, a while to pitch to Phil, like, to even start the at-bat.
He was panting like a dog.
Yeah, he was, like, bending over and stuff, like, keeled over, and then he took, like, a minute to throw the pitch. And then the first pitch he throws, Phil just blasted it over the left field fence, and we just knew after that, like, we just smelled blood. Like, it was a wrap.
Now, Ryan, that round, the semifinals, you went 14 innings, and not even 7 days later, that was on a Sunday, you come back on a Saturday, and you throw another 15 innings in a chip.
Oh yeah,
which is basically you pitch every inning in the championship rounds, right?
Yeah, it was time to win, so there was no other option.
Now, how was your arm feeling after that?
It was sore, definitely. I mean, I was fatigued, but injury wise, it was fine. Nothing was hurt. Just soreness from throwing that many innings. But I'm just happy we got through it. It definitely paid off.
You literally outlasted the D-backs, because the D-backs, Devin Torres was dealing with injury as well.
We knew they were dealing with injury since before, like just around when the playoffs were starting.
And basically it came down to Garrett, and
he did a hell of a job.
And you guys overcame. You guys outlasted. It was a great series.
It was a great series and a great season. Things just went our way.
That home run Ryan hit. Go ahead.
So coming into 2018, Tim, is your arm healthy? Are you the number two starter for the Giants this year?
No.
I will not be the number two starter for the Giants this year. I wish.
Okay, so is it a year off, or is it a year that you're going to slowly build back and hope?
He hasn't gone to the doctor yet.
We'll see. I'm still waiting to get it looked at.
Holy smokes. I didn't realize that you know, you're still in question for the whole season still, for the beginning of the season.
Oh, it's a no doubt.
Still there.
I'm on the shelf, but I'm not going to hit like I did last year. That's all I'm going to say.
So who's your number two coming into 2018?
We don't really know yet. We have still options, but we're still trying to make moves.
Yeah, make some moves.
Jason, you got something for them? I've asked a couple of teams, a couple of interviews. Everyone's saying you guys are front runners.
If we get another number two and we can squeak into the playoffs, we can definitely give it another shot. Yeah,
it's hard to do it with just one arm, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, if you only had one arm that you could pick to be that one arm, it's you, Ryan. So, you know,
oh,
you got that going.
So, like, big games, but we have the number one. We just need the number two.
All right. Is Dave Fisher coming back?
Again, it depends on the moves we make. He wants to be our fourth guy, so if we need him to be our fourth, he might play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We have Stant still. I think he wants to throw a little bit. I don't know how his arm's doing.
Well, he just threw in that tournament, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, he was getting them thrown pretty quick.
Somebody was telling me he wasn't even throwing that many knuckleballs, that he was getting by with, you know, just throwing hard.
Well, yeah.
It was a fast-pitch tournament.
Yeah, it was fast-pitch.
He also just pitched it in Pace's medium-pitch tournament, and his knuckleball was on point. I mean, even at that speed in Palisades, that pitch will get guys out.
Couple feet, though, makes
that's right. An extra 3 feet.
And bigger bats, if it's just easier to get a hold of.
Right. It has a movement I've never seen on a knuckleball, though. It literally has a 90-degree break, like from
left to right,
straight across the plate. It's unbelievable.
You guys thinking of going into any tournaments 2018?
We just played in one. We just won the Mid-Atlantic, their like Winter Classic or whatever. We just went undefeated, and we took that home.
I saw a picture, and I thought it was you, Ryan, at bat. And I was like, no, but that's Mid-Atlantic. It's not him. And your arm shirt, right?
Tim and Jordan went down and played.
So I was a cop down there. What kind of teams? What were the players in there?
Some teams weren't really good. I mean, then there was a couple of solid teams, too. We played Rob Sarno and Stanton in the finals.
All right, guys, cool. I appreciate it. We'll touch base.
All right, guys.
See you during the season.
Thanks.
Good luck.
See you all on a good day.
All right.
You too. We'll see you guys soon.
All right. So that concludes Wifflecast Episode 6 with the Mikel Rapp Brothers. It's time. We'll have Kyle Van Slossinger. I think that's his name. I call him Kayvon. One of the most filthiest pitchers in the league. Some think that he has the nastiest stuff in the Palisades. Till next time.